Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
If you are a single heterosexual male listening to this conversation, let me quickly ask you a few questions. Are you afraid of approaching women? If not, and you feel fairly comfortable and confident approaching women, what do you talk about with them in the first 5 to 10 minutes of the conversation? Do you talk about the weather? Do you talk about that cute story about your sister's dog? How much you hate your job and your boss? The last good movie you saw? And when you've gone as far as to go on 2 or 3 dates with a woman, what do you talk about while you're having lunch or dinner or watching a movie? When it's all said and done, does that woman end up looking at you as boyfriend material or at least a casual fuck buddy? Or does she simply add you to her stable of flattering, entertaining, platonic male friends? If you have experienced the frustration of being politely rejected and placed in the dreaded friend zone, this episode is for you. My guest this evening is a young man from Canada who I've come to look at as sort of a protege of mine, and both of us share the primary philosophy of emphasizing the direct approach. You say, what is the direct approach? What are the weaknesses of an indirect approach? You will have these terms defined and clarified in this conversation tonight. Who is this man from Montreal who is offering to enlighten men, coach men, and challenge men so that they can ultimately have a much better social life, love life, and sex life? He goes by the pseudonym Don Suave, and tonight, the man who created the direct playboy mindset and philosophy is going to take time out of his schedule in order to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you,
do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race?
You do.
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman. But the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode One! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode One, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Yeah.
what it is. Yeah, another day as I step out the door, right past the pouring clothes they can't afford. For this, I thank the Lord, wish that he'll bless me with a few more. Quit, cause working in a drought is a bitch. Switch, a female door with no bra. Rich is what I wanna get like gifts, but you need blow to get your birthday wish. Trick, and then you never snitch, you never tell a soul, not even a fish. This fish might fall and run and tell a shrimp, you dig, and shrimp might run and tell a pig. If you sell them rides on the right horse, right about your crib, bring the batarang where you live. God, I really need a job until I get a gig. I be giving work to the kids.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, June 9th. And tonight, I'm going to be interviewing a young brother who I first interacted with on an internet message board probably about 4 or 5 years ago. The website was called directmethod.com. And this was a website where a number of guys would come looking for knowledge and wisdom related to advice on how to approach women better, how to be more appealing to women, attract women, and ultimately seduce women and or date women. And there were a number of guys I got to know on that particular message board. We would always discuss a lot of things related to my book, Mode 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking, and just the idea of being direct with women, period. And I developed a great rapport over the next year or two with this young gentleman that's going to be on my show tonight. And now I you can say I kind of look at him as a protege of mine, a direct approach protege of mine. So I think it's going to be a great conversation because we share a lot of the same themes and mindsets and philosophies regarding approaching women. Next week, I'm going to have one of my infamous open discussion forums is going to be next week. I'm going to be talking about women who are disingenuous prudes. Women who are disingenuous prudes. That's going to be, and also men and women who are sexual hypocrites. This kind of was sparked by the whole Anthony Weiner. I'll talk about him in a second. But, yeah, that's going to be my discussion next week. And then 2 weeks from now, I am going to be talking about these well-known protest marches called the Slut Walks. I don't know if you heard about them, but in different cities and different countries, they're having what's known as Slut Walks. And I'm going to be talking about those 2 weeks from tonight. Now, that's interesting. Normally, a lot of my regulars are in the chat room, but I see a whole bunch of guests. I don't see hardly any of my regulars in the chat room tonight. I see Julio, one of my good Facebook friends from Australia. He's in the chat room. And along with him is a number of guests. Wow. Interesting. I guess a lot of my normal regulars are watching the Dallas Mavericks play the Miami Heat right now. The Miami Heat is up 56-52. They're up 56-52 with a couple minutes left in the Miami is up 54-52 with about just over 2 minutes left in the second quarter. This is game five of the NBA Finals. And yes, this game is very – LeBron James, he called it the most important game of his career. The most important game of his career. So we'll see who wins this game. I see, see my girl Don in the chat room. She cracks me up. Don Nicoleone. All she's saying that Dwayne Wade
is her baby daddy. It's her baby daddy. Yeah, Don, Nicole. Now, see, Don, since you're in the chat room, I got beef with you, Don. I heard you on your show teasing me about the fact that I was celebrating 4 years on Blog Talk Radio last week. You think I didn't hear? I heard you. You didn't mention me by name, but you like, yeah, people on Blog Talk Radio bragging about they've been on the air for 4 years. I've been doing radio all my life. Uh-huh. You thought I didn't hear that, huh? Miss Nikki Lone. Nicoleon. Uh-huh. Look at you. Look at you. Yep. Taking swipes at Alan Roger Curry. That ain't right. That ain't right. Uh-huh. See, she wasn't showing brother love. Acting like I was making a trivial braggadocious. Hey, I'm happy to say I've been on Blog Talk Radio for 4 years. Now, I know you probably been in radio for 15 years. I know you got an extensive resume, but, hey, I'm happy to be on Blog Talk Radio for 4 years. Enough said. Let me give more shout-outs to my brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry, that's my older brother, Stephen Curry. Also, my younger cousins, J.P. Jones of Chicago, Christopher Curry in Detroit, Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam the third, EVP3, and many of my Blog Talk Radio colleagues, fellow hosts, and my Facebook friends, thank you for listening to my show tonight. As I mentioned, the NBA Finals going on right now. It's tied 54-54 with 2 minutes to go, 54-54. And right now the series is tied 2-2. So whoever wins this game goes up 3-2. And all these games have been close, man. All these games have been close. I've been loving this NBA Finals. I mean, if you're an NBA fan, you just got to love these NBA Finals, man. They've been the bomb. And so I've been loving it. Speaking of sports, man, what's up with Ohio State? See, my girl Adrian, she's not in the chat room because she know I tease her because, man, Ohio State is having problems. First, it was the coach resigned, now the quarterback leaving. They found out that he got paid like $30,000, $40,000 for signing memorabilia. And, yeah, they just in a mess, man. Ohio State's in a mess right now. Now, I know everybody in the country has heard by now about Anthony Weiner. That poor guy. Anthony Weiner, if you don't live in the United States, what's up, James C. Jimmy? I see you, James C. Jimmy. If you don't live in the United States, we have a House of Representatives member. His name, what's up, Christian Davis? I see you, Christian Davis. Named Anthony Weiner from New York, Democrat, and he was sending dick pictures of himself over Twitter. Come on, man. Come on. Now, I ain't going to lie. I'm going to be upfront and straightforward. I done sent women pictures of my dick before through my cell phone and through email, but I ain't never sent no dick picture through no Twitter. No Twitter or whatever. I mean, come on, man. What the heck? What's up with that? That's just stupid. When you're in that position, the position he's in, that's just, like, stupid. Sending a dick picture through Twitter. So, there she is, Adrian Diva 362636. Diva in the house. I was just talking about you, Diva. I was talking about Ohio State, man. Adrian says she's going to just go to the campus and slap somebody. She's so upset. You know, because I was saying last week when Tressel resigned, the first person he called was Adrian. He just called Adrian and said, hey, I fucked up. And Terrell Pryor called Adrian too. He said, hey, you know, brother just trying to get paid. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to get paid. And Adrian was like, don't be stupid about it. But yeah, Anthony Weiner, man. A good portion of my show next week is going to center around stuff like that, stuff like what he did. And so be sure to tune in next week. Happy belated birthday to George Clooney. Oh, I saw a preview of I don't know. See, I'm going to date myself, but when I was young, one of my favorite movies was the Planet of the Apes series. And they coming out with this movie, The Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Woo, that preview looks intense, man. It looks intense. I cannot wait to see that movie. It don't come out till August 5th, but, man, I think it's going to be a tight movie. Again, for you NBA fans, Dallas is leading at halftime 60-57. 60-57. Dallas is ahead. They are leading the Miami Heat by 3 points. By 3 points. So, there you go, you NBA fans. I am going to take a brief intermission, but when I get back, I don't see my guest just yet in my phone queue, but he should be in my phone queue in a couple minutes. So I'm going to take a break. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back after this.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Bang. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Kadahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex with D.
This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Ain't you a little wet behind the ears to be running your mouth for? You don't really want me to run in your house.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net.
All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy. You're not the richest guy out there. How are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives.
Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. My guest this evening is the founder of Direct Playboy. He's the author of the Direct Playboy manuscript, subtitled Become a Man of Influence and a Chick Magnet. He is a graduate of the University of Montreal in Canada with an emphasis in kinesiology and English literature, which is an interesting combination. And he, since he was young, he had a passion for a combination of psychology and interpersonal communication, and he has used that passion to solidify his own principles and philosophies as it relates to approaching women, attracting women, dating women, ultimately seducing women. He has been heavily involved in sports for most of his life. He's been a personal trainer. He's been a wrestler. He knows the mixed martial arts, and he has just spent a number of years refining his principles, refining his methods, refining his philosophies to the point where now he's in a position to share his experiences, share his knowledge, and share his wisdom with many young single heterosexual men, not only in Canada, but in the United States and a number of other countries across the world. It's my pleasure to welcome this young brother, listeners, on behalf of the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and Upfront and Straightforward, give it up for my friend, Don Suave. What's up, young brother?
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'm cool, man. Glad to have you on the show. Now, refresh your memory. I want to say you and I first interacted on Direct Method in either 2006 or 2007, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember we used to share a lot of thoughts on that message board and chop it up and then I feel like I kind of lost contact with you over the last year or so.
Yeah.
And then somebody sent me the link to your website, dude. I got to give you props, man. That is one hell of a website you got.
Thank you.
Very professional. I've seen a lot of cheesy websites over the past 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah.
But that website is tight, and the videos are tight. Like, that main video of yours I like because the one scene I like particularly in your video, and listeners, if you haven't seen the video, go to my blog page. I got it on my blog page, bo1.blogspot.com. But a lot of guys, dating coaches, seduction gurus, they only want to show themselves being successful with women.
Right.
But you have at least one scene where you talk about it, you say, sometimes you just don't click with a woman. And
yeah,
you got this scene of you next to a woman, you can tell you guys just have no chemistry.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was a really cool move, because that's what I try to tell guys, is that you're never going to attract every woman you want to attract. You're never going to click with every woman you want to click. There's going to be a good number of women that you're just not going to click with.
Yeah, exactly. So, first, thank you for having me on your show.
First
thing I'm going to say is I find that a lot of so-called gurus or seduction coaches, they have a very pretentious attitude toward meeting women. So the first thing I'm going to say is anybody who says he can attract, date, and have sex with any woman is a charlatan, a bullshitter. That's the first thing I'm going to say. And basing myself on that fact, my whole concept about direct approaching is about going, is about getting the yes or the no. So basically, when you're direct and you learn to put some verbs in your sentences, then for sure some women are going to be down with you and other women are not going to be interested by you. Or maybe you're going to talk to her and you're going to feel that there's no chemistry. And in that scene, that's what I was showing. The fact that not every woman you meet on the street or anywhere is going to click, is going to go on. And I mean, whoever you are, like, however good you are with the skills that you have, I mean, that's a part of life and that's a part of, you know, being human.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I read on your website, it's funny how many similarities we've had in our past. Like, because I read where, I tell guys when I was young, I used to keep a journal.
Okay.
Of a lot of my interactions with women, and I would kind of chronicle what I felt was the strengths in my approach, the weakness in my approach, and just, you know, identify patterns. And it looks like you did pretty much the same thing, right?
Yeah. So basically, maybe I can let the listeners know a little bit more about my past.
Yeah,
so basically, like throughout high school, I never had a date. I never kissed a girl, nothing really
happened. Okay, let me stop you right there. Now, brother,
yeah.
I've seen your pictures. I've seen your videos. And from one man to another, I will tell you, you know, you're a handsome brother. So I find it hard to believe that you didn't get any dates and then kiss any women. Are you bullshitting me or are you serious?
Actually, what I'm going to do, I think soon I'm going to post a picture of me of what I used to like, what I used to look like when I was in high school. So maybe after that, people are going to see the work that I put on myself. Because a lot of times, like, what I realize is when people meet me, they see my physique, they see my charisma, they see what I portray, and they think I was born this way. But the thing is, I wasn't born a natural. I had to work myself up there. So basically, when I was in high school, I was short, skinny, I had no sense of style, no sense of anything that would be attractive to women. I wasn't the popular guy. I wasn't anything that, you know, would have drove women towards me. So basically, at a certain age, it's like I told myself, like around 14 years old, I told myself I want to change my life completely. So what I did is I started getting involved more into combat sports, and I built myself physically. Also, I saw that I had some weaknesses in my social skills. So what I did is I started to work as a salesman. I started to promote in nightclubs, and I wouldn't let go. So at 16, I told myself that I wanted to become a Don Juan. That's what I wanted to become. And from that day, I've been going at it since that day, and I never quit. I'm the type of guy, like, if I get into something, I want to be the best at what I'm doing. And if I can't be the best, it's not for me. I let it go. I let it to someone else. So it was basically my drive and my motivation who brought me to the level that I am today. So always keeping an open mind and trying to get out of my comfort zone on a daily basis, and trying to push myself to become the best person I can be in all the areas I can possibly touch. So that's my mindset, and that's what I try to teach to people, and that's what I try to inspire people with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good stuff, good stuff. Now, how many years would you say you tended to approach women in an indirect manner?
Okay.
And what series of events in your life or experiences led you to become a fan of the more direct approach? And along with that, explain to my listeners, what is your exact definition of a direct Matter of fact, I love the way you broke down indirect game versus direct game on page 20. So of your book. So just let my listeners know generally the times when you were indirect, what switched you to direct, and your general definition of direct versus indirect.
Okay. So basically, my first experiences with women when I was a teenager, I really used to do. I used to follow advice, like societal advice, like advice a father would give you or somebody who doesn't get laid a lot would give you. So what I would do, I would wait until it was Valentine's Day, for example, and give chocolates or roses. And as you can imagine, that didn't work out too well. So
been there, yeah.
Yeah, so basically it was... in my prom, in my high school prom, something in me clicked. I went there by myself. I didn't have a companion with me, and I don't know. I just started feeling the music. I started feeling the vibe, and I felt something in me completely change. And from that day, I felt that I had it in me, and I approach women from that day almost on a daily basis. And the fact that I worked as a promoter, it would give me an excuse to go to groups of chicks and talk to them so I could bring them to parties. And then through working in the clubs and learning about the night game, I realized that a lot of times I would get rejected anyways. So even if I would go indirect, I would get rejected. So I told myself at one point, like, my real strength is my charisma. My sensuality, the fact that I'm suave. You know, when I'm talking about the word suave, what I want to say is it's the masculine version of the word sensual. That's how I see the name, the term suave. So I would say that was my strength. Also my physicality, the fact that I wasn't shy. I was able to talk to women and touch them physically relatively fast. Without having adverse reactions. So at one point I told myself, you know, like, instead of getting rejected, I don't know, 10 times and not getting what I want, then I might as well go direct right away. So I tried for a year, for maybe 6 months or a year or so, after reading a book, a famous book in the pickup artist community, I got involved in that, but I felt that I was losing a lot of the power that I had. I was trying to learn those routines and do all those gimmicks, which really didn't work for me. And the difference between me and most guys that were on forums is I was already getting laid before I got involved in the more theoretical aspect of the game. Like, I had results. And most of these guys, what I realized is they didn't have any results. So after trying it for a while and the whole indirect thing, then I realized that I might as well go back to my old ways and even perfect those ways. And then I fell on some authors which had a different mindset. I read this stuff that you did yourself. And then everything kind of all clicked together. And by the way, I think that the work that you did the mode one, I think it's a very good work, and I recommend it to anybody who would like seek advice from me. I would also advise them to read your book, because I think it's a very good book. And
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you mentioning me in the acknowledgement section of your book. That was very flattering. I appreciate that.
Yeah, if I didn't acknowledge you, I would be a hypocrite. I would be, I wouldn't be honest. Because the thing is, me, one of the things I have is what I refer to as abundance mindset. So basically, for me mentioning you in my book, I think there's enough, the market is big enough for you to be successful. And to me, to be successful as well. So that's one of the reasons why I mentioned you. And I mentioned other authors. But you were one of the authors which I really appreciate. And And I have no problem mentioning that. Maybe that's the reason why I'm on your show today.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Like I said, I remember you from the message boards, and then I kind of, because they closed down Direct Method, and then a lot of people used to be on there, kind of, you know, went different places. They reopened it, kind of a new one, you know, Direct.org, but it's cool. I don't want to disparage Direct.org, but it don't have the same kind of family feel that Direct Method had.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same flavor, yeah.
Now, one thing I remember, I hope you don't mind me bringing this up.
Yeah,
one thing I remember on Direct Method was you and this poster name, Kamkuka.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, y'all used to have so many philosophical disagreements, it wasn't even funny. Y'all were always seemed like you were going at it with each other.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Direct, so you went from, now what, let me ask you this question. What's your general definition of a man of influence, which is the term featured in your subtitle?
Right. Okay. So first thing I'm going to say is basically there are two different types of game. So the first game would be, would say the game with women, and the other game would be the game of life. So 90% of the seduction community, they focus only on the game with women. So basically they focus on tricks, sometimes tactics, deception, manipulation, on how to get laid with women. And almost all the players that I know that are very proficient at meeting women, they don't have their life together. Like, they're always... they have problems paying bills. Some of them, they don't have cars. They're always in between. And some of these guys are either in their mid-30s, sometimes end of their 30s. So me, the difference between my work and most of the work is I focus a lot on the game of life. So the game of life is having success in general. You know, it's like everything that you're going to learn by doing pickup, all the abilities, all the skill sets that you're going to learn, then I like to give advice on how you can transport that in other areas of your life to make you a successful person in general. So when I'm talking about the man of influence, I'm talking about a man who's successful in all the areas of his life. So it's somebody who inspires trust, who has a lot of charisma, who can make things happen, somebody proactive, somebody ambitious, somebody... who can lead the masses. So a good example would be a John F. Kennedy or a Barack Obama. That would be a man of influence.
Okay.
So my whole thing is about being a chick magnet. It's about getting chicks. But the most important thing is about being a man of influence. And when you're a man of influence, then you have success in all areas of your life. And women tend to like men who are successful. So that's my whole concept.
Okay.
Yep.
What are some of your brief thoughts on the attraction and seduction community as a whole? Both your positive thoughts about the attraction and seduction community, and maybe some of your more harsher criticisms of the attraction and seduction community.
Okay. The attraction community, what's good about it is it's better than doing something than not doing anything. That's the first thing I'm going to say. For example, in Quebec, I started to post in French in some blogs. And I received some resistance in trying to educate people on Direct, okay? And some of them, of the people there, most of them, they are part of the seduction community. So when we're talking about seduction community, most of the time we talk about indirect community. Now, maybe I can define the differences between indirect and direct.
Okay.
So indirect is a more elusive way of getting women. Basically trying to hide your intent to look because in their belief, their belief is not strong enough that they can just go meet a woman and express them their interest. They feel it's like losing power, and they feel, I think deep inside, they feel that their intent or what they're looking for is not what women are looking for. So, for example, a lot of these guys, they do a lot of tactics just to get sex, just to get laid, basically. Me, I feel that if I need to hide my intent, it's because I'm lacking belief. So the first thing that you need to do if you want to be direct is you must normalize your belief. You must believe that whatever you seek for, there's another person that looks for the same thing. So the guys in the indirect community, a lot of them, they have scarcity mindset. They think scarce. They think it's like resources of women in some way are not infinite. Me, the way that I think that even if I get rejected all night, I still believe that there's one girl in the place that is gonna want exactly what I'm looking for. So I'm not looking to back down, or I'm not looking to tone down whatever I'm looking for. Whatever is in my head, I want to get, I'm going to get. That's, for me, that's a winner mindset. And the indirect mindset, they're doing all these strategies because they think that women do not necessarily want the same thing that they want. Because if you think about it for 2 seconds, there's no point of using a tactic if you know there's going to be no resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would say in the indirect community, the good part is that they motivate guys to do something. It's better to go out blabber some opinion openers or do some foul time constraints or negs or all that stuff. It's better to do that than just staying home, not doing anything, or jacking off with the idea of meeting women. So that's good in a sense because it pushes guys to be proactive. But the thing that's damaging a lot is that they really complicate the fact of meeting women. They break it down to a level where it's too complicated for nothing. It doesn't have to be that complicated. And what I like to use is the example of a natural. And I explain that to people who are resilient or towards the direct mindset. So a natural, everybody knows at least one natural in his life. A natural would be a guy who, let's say a football, a guy who was captain in the football team, who always kind of had women. But a lot of times you talk to these guys and you tell them, what's your secret? And 9 times out of 10, they're going to tell you, well, I'm just being me. I'm just being myself.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that they don't realize, that I can realize because I'm not a natural, I built myself that way, is just being yourself when you're not alpha is not enough. So you have to bring yourself to a level. You have to upgrade yourself. You have to become your strong self so you become your 2.0 version of who you are. It's not about changing you. It's about liberating yourself from blockers, from fears that you have, from anything that's holding you from being the real you. So, to get back to your question about the indirect community, I would say that they complicate a lot, and they tend to brainwash the members. So after that, it's another type of work that when I have a guy from indirect community that comes to see me, I have to deprogram him again from all the stuff that he learned in the indirect community. So that I would say that would be the bad part, the fact that they believe they must be, that they being themselves is not enough. So they believe they must bring some extra stuff for them to be successful with women.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
What causes a man to become an excuser?
Okay. I would say just,
and you kind of touched on it when you were just talking about men, you know, battling with their fears and insecurities,
right,
and psychological blockers. So I'm sure that's related.
Right.
But go in a little more detail. What first of all, define to men who may be listening, not familiar with that term, define
okay,
what an excuser is, and, you know,
right,
how does
okay,
a man get to that point?
Perfect, perfect. Excuser is a man who is in denial of his of what he wants. He's a man who's in denial with his urges, with his desires. He's in denial of that. And he's a guy who hides his intent to women and who doesn't have the balls to be himself. That would be a short definition of what an excuser is. Now, what would cause a man to be an excuser? The first thing I'm going to say is society tends to condition us into being excusers. Because if you look at, for example, any commercial that you look, or for example, a hip-hop video that you're going to look, you're going to see guys with money, and you're going to see all, each time you're going to see a beautiful woman, you're going to see a guy who has money, who has a lot of income. So then a guy growing up, he thinks that, okay, well, I can't get hot chicks because I don't have money, I don't have income, I'm not on that top level or whatever. And a lot of times society teaches us that, you know, we can't be too straightforward with women, that most women are looking for long-term relationships, that women that respect themselves are not looking for a quick fix, for a one-night stand, for empty sex. So for all of these reasons, the man who grows up and who's not aware of this, who grows up, then he believes that this is the truth. He believes that men want more sex than women. He believes that women are looking for long-term relationships. He believes that women are into gentlemen, that women are into men who pay their restaurant, that go and give them lifts, you know. So he grows up with that in his mind. And a lot of times, like, when he's going to talk to his friends or he's going to talk to other people, the other people are going to tell him the same thing. So it kind of builds a reinforcement pattern in his head where he thinks that this is the truth. But the problem is, if this was the truth, why majority of guys are going to have sex with 7 women in their whole life if they're following this advice?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a study that's been proven. In a lifetime, most men will have sex with 7 women in their life, and at one point they're going to end up in a long-term relationship, and their girlfriends are going to get fat, and, you know, they're going to be kind of stuck, and they won't have the confidence to, you know, to demand their girlfriends that they need to do something to stay with them, because they don't have the they think that that's what they're worth, and they limit themselves to that level. So that's how I would explain why an excuser becomes an excuser, and maybe I can clarify if you have more.
You mentioned about, and I feel the same way about how a lot of us guys, and women too, I guess, we kind of give in to what I call a lot of flawed societal conditioning and,
right,
and social programming.
Exactly.
And let me ask you, give me 2 or 3 things that,
right,
you think that society as a whole is guilty of having, say, a negative or somewhat detrimental effect on the manner in which single heterosexual men interact with single women.
Okay. Can you
is there any belief that you feel society promotes, or behavior that society promotes,
right,
that on paper it sounds like it's to our benefit, but in actual practice it's to our detriment?
Well, the first thing I would say is one of the things I explained in my book is the slut concept. So basically that we live in a society where women are used to play a game, and the game that they play is, it has become complicated for a man and to women to have sex in just a straightforward way. It has become somehow complicated for the average excuser's mind, I would say. Why? Because I don't know if it's Puritanism or if it's the whole marriage, the whole marriage union, but it tends of, I think mothers tend to educate their girls that they should look for a man who wants to engage them in a long-term relationship. And by doing so, this man one day could become their future husband, for example. So a lot of times you see, like, in, for example, in the media, in movies, you always see that kind of indirect approach. And I think the repeated exposure to the indirect approach kind of stays in the average male's mind. And he thinks that that's how he should approach women, because otherwise she might react in an adverse way because he's not showing that he's looking for a long-term relationship. But the thing is, a lot of women are playing a game themselves when they're acting that way. And it's, in my book, it's what I call one to three women. So basically, one to three women is a woman who goes step by step. So she's going to say, okay, first thing, you give me your phone number. Second thing, we talk on the phone. We go to many dates. And then if she feels that you've qualified enough, you've done enough, you worked her enough, then maybe if she feels like it, maybe she's going to give the pussy. See, so me, I don't play that game. The game that I play straight up. So I tell them directly, listen, I'm not an excuser. I'm not going to judge you for whatever's going to happen between us. And that's a very important element, to be not judgmental about sexual behavior of women. And I would even say that it's not just faking not to be non-judgmental, but inside of you, you shouldn't be judgmental about women expressing themselves, emancipating themselves in a sexual manner.
Well, one thing, if you don't mind, let me add into that. And you read my book, so you know when I talk in chapter 6 about that. If there's one thing I'm critical of men,
okay,
I have my share of criticism of women, but one area I'm critical of men is
what?
The way I look at women, and I'm sure you're probably the same way based on what you just said. I look at women almost in just simply two categories, women who want to have sex with me and women who don't. another way to put it is women that I think I will enjoy having sex with and women that I don't think I will. But a lot of guys, they will try their best to persuade a woman to get in bed and use different tactics to get a woman in bed. And then once they get that woman in bed, instead of just being happy with the fact that they were able to enjoy sex, they'll turn around and do what I call the locker room talk with the fellas and call that woman, you know, a hoe or a slut. And it's just really stupid. And I'm going to touch on those terms a little later in the conversation. But right now I want to take a call. We got, looks like, I think we got, I don't see an area code. So it must be calling through Skype or something. But you are now
caller.
Now upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, Don Suave. What's your question or comment?
Yeah, hi, Don Suave. Is this me, Alan?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. How you doing, Alan? Look,
who's
here, I think you just asked a very profoundly practical question, and I like that. And I just want to say to the gentleman, I'm enjoying the conversation, but the fundamental flaw in his presentation is either he doesn't think enough of women to have them have a participatory role. It's just like they're just there, and the man has to commit all the action. And so she's an adult, and if she's not participating, I mean, she's not being a partner. So there are things that she has to do also in terms of character and appropriate behavior to make the relationship work. So I wish he would focus a little bit more on that and just not on everything the man has to do. But great show, though. Thank you.
Okay, Don, what's your response to that about
I was waiting for the question, but I didn't get the question.
Yeah, I don't think it was a question. He just more so made a comment. He feels like you're saying that men should be making all the moves and the women are not, I guess, not really doing anything.
No, that's really, well, I think he misinterpreted a lot of the what I've been saying. I believe actually the opposite. I believe that my job, when I see a woman who's attracted to me and if I'm attracted to her, is to present myself in a way and present the situation in a way that it's conducive for something to happen. So basically, it's to present her who I am, what I'm looking for, and then give her the choice to accept whatever I'm looking for or to reject whatever I'm looking for. And that's a very important element. It's like a pillar of my philosophy. It's about finding women who are secure enough to take a decision, because indecisiveness won't get you anywhere. So all I'm doing is I'm presenting myself, I'm showing her what I'm looking for, and then I let her choose whether I'm good for her or I'm not good for her. And if I'm not good for her, then it's all smiles. And, you know, well, it was a pleasure meeting you, and I hope that you find whichever guy you think is more fit for you. And I'm on my way, and I'm looking for the next one. That's how I think. And a lot of times, by doing so, women are not going to be interested to me right away. But I can tell you that sometimes women are going to call me 3 months after, sometimes 6 months after, and I forgot about them, but they come back and they, hey, you remember me? I met you at that location. Okay. And, yeah, I would like to meet you again. So then they're doing the hitting on me, so I guess they have their part to play. And I would even say that nowadays my game, most of the time, I don't take the phone number. I leave a business card or my phone number. And I tell them what I want. I'm upfront. And, you know, if they're looking for, you know, if they want to look for me, they know where to find me. And that's how I play it. That's how I play my game, basically.
Okay. Right now, we're going to take a quick intermission break. Let my guests get a swig of water. But listeners, if you want to call in with a question or comment, the number is 646-478-5710. Again, that's 646-478-5710. And after this intermission break, I will be back with more questions. Well, wait a minute. Before I go to intermission break, John, I got to have you do me the honors, man. If you've listened to my show before, you know I have a lot of my guests. Before I go to intermission break, take the title of my book, Mo One, stretch out the O's, and give me a good Mo One.
Mode One.
That's what I'm talking about.
Alan Roger Curry.
Up front, straight forward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Listeners, we will be right back in about 3 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Bang. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode One fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode One.
Do you think that guys
to one degree or another have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's only 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
So listeners know there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview with dating coach and attraction and seduction expert Don Suave, a.k.a. the Direct Playboy, on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the second hour of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Tonight, I'm talking to a young brother that you'd say I look at as sort of a protege of mine, and we met each other a few years ago via the internet, and we share a lot of the same philosophies and principles and mindsets regarding approaching women, initiating conversations with them, and ultimately attracting them and seducing them. And he goes by the pseudonym Don Suave, and he is the author of The Direct Playboy Manuscript. The Direct Playboy Manuscript. And the subtitle is
How to Become a Man of Influence.
And that's right. How to Become a Man of Influence and a
Chick
Magnet.
His
website is directplayboy.com. I love the website. His website is just... it's just super tight. Let me see. I think I got another caller on the line. Okay. Is this Julio on the line?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear him, Don?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Yeah, I hear you.
How you doing? Now, Julio, you calling from Australia, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, man. This is the first time I've ever done this.
How you doing, man?
What's your question and/or comment for Don Suave?
Well, first I'd like to start off with a comment. I'd like to say that, you know, both you guys have really impressed me with your stuff.
Okay.
I got a really good bullshit detector, and when someone... I had friends showing me that other shit, you know? Pickup artist stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew, man, that was bullshit, man. So I kept looking at that, man. I said, someone has to be somewhere that knows. And, yeah, I'm impressed with you guys, so I thought I'd tell you guys that.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I went out last night, man, and I realized, and I went to ask Suave this. I was wondering, you guys noticed and started trying to pick up that you'd have friends that would, I mean, they wouldn't really be exactly supportive in a sense, you know what I mean? Like, they'll sit back and you'd approach, and after a while, they'd be like, you know, oh, God, you fucked that up, and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, essentially, there's sometimes you have guys you hang around that turn into haters. They want to hate on you for approaching women,
Well, I mean, you could say that, but I mean, like, the thing is, like, I've been approaching more women lately, and I noticed that if you have, like, if something fails, man, it's not so, you know, they're not really supportive in a sense, or they'd be like, oh, look, man, he's, you know, it didn't work out for him, blah, blah, blah. When the whole night, they wouldn't approach anyone.
So what's your question? How can I help you?
Well, I mean, like, did that ever happen to you going through your learning experience?
If it ever happened to me, to have friends that don't do nothing?
So basically he was asking, have you ever had guys say, let's use the example, you got two or three buddies that go to the club with you, and you approach 10 women and 9 of them reject you, and they criticize you for them 9 women rejection, but they ain't approached not even one woman themselves. Have you ever had that type of situation?
Oh, yeah, because that's a normal excuser reaction. The excuser, how he reacts, is when you're going to approach, he's shit scared of going and to walk to a female he doesn't know. So he's not going to have the courage to do it. So when you do it, he's gonna cross his fingers that you're going to get rejected so he can laugh of you and say, you know what I told you? I knew that it wasn't going to work, ha, ha, ha. And that's how these guys behave. But that's a loser mindset, because anybody who's a winner, and anybody who knows any winner, like, for example, Michael Jordan, he was cut from his, his high school.
Yeah,
he didn't make his high school basketball team, and he missed more than 1,000 shots in his whole career. But the thing is, like, the winners are the people who try the most. So when I started, I was looking for guys to go out because I didn't have the confidence yet to go out by myself. But these guys, quickly, they couldn't go out with me because they were there talking, and I was there like, why are you talking, man? There's like those two hot chicks, like, they're by themselves. Like you don't want to go talk to them. Oh, well, you know, blah, blah. And they try to find excuses to justify the fact that they're lacking the courage. So what I can recommend to you is to try to find a friend who's motivated as you are, and who's not going to make you feel bad because you're getting rejected, because getting rejected is part of the learning process. And even if you're on top and you're at a level like Mr. Curie I'm speaking to, or you're at my level, you're still going to get rejected anyways. So nobody's proof, like nobody's rejection proof. We're not Superman. We're just guys who worked on building some type of sense where we can kind of sense like which women are into us and how to escalate the situation. So what I would suggest is try to find a friend, like I said, who's motivated as you are. And if you don't have any friends, then try to push yourself and go out by yourself and do everything by yourself. Because what's happening is, like, when you go out with excuser friends, it's like you're putting extra weight on you. So you can't even swim by yourself, and it's like you're putting a backpack. So it's going to drown you. It's even worse. So for that reason, I suggest to you that if you don't have friends that are motivated, then try to go out by yourself, and eventually you're going to build the confidence to be able to be successful and efficient on the field.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something I've started because I've been getting into the Alan Roger Curie stuff. So,
right.
I mean, I've been approaching more women and stuff, and this is like a thing I've just started noticing recently, you know. And I was actually really surprised, man, because, you know, I wasn't expecting that, you know.
That your friends are gonna be chickens?
Yeah, I mean, they're chickens, but also, I mean, like, for example, like, I approached a woman last night, I was talking to her, and my friend's idea of, I don't know what the hell he was thinking, but his idea was to come up to me and say, "Are you alright, man?" in front of everyone, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine, man. Are you alright?" You know, it's just,
Well, thank you for calling in, Julio.
Yeah, thanks for that. Nice talking to you guys.
Oh,
okay, cool,
pleasure.
Man. Pleasure talking to you.
Cheers. Yeah.
Yeah, Julio, I've been interacting with him a lot on Facebook, and, yeah, he lives in Australia. So that just shows, Don, man, the influence you and I have, man. You know,
we're international, baby.
But, you know, people all around the world, you know, I'm sure you hear from people in different countries.
Yeah.
And because that's universal. There's some things that are, you know, different in this country and that country. But when it comes to things related to approaching women and having sex with women, I don't think there's a country on earth that you're going to find that men do not want to get better in that area.
Yeah,
I got one more call, area code. I think this is 631. 631, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my special guest, Don Suave. What's your question or comment?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, excellent. Hi, excellent show. I'm enjoying it very much. I just had a quick question. As far as Alan Roger Curry's direct approach, I know that I'm very familiar with, you know, what his approach is. You know, basically he'll use anything from, you know, PG-rated language all the way up to triple X language, depending on the situation and the mood. As far as, you know, letting women know upfront and straightforward what he wants, you know, to derive from that situation. As far as your guest, can he please describe a direct approach from beginning to end to give the listeners an idea of what exactly his direct approach would look like? Because it's always interesting to get that extra perspective because, you know, different people will fit into different approach styles. So that.
Right.
Well, before he answers that question, I'm sure, Don, you probably, if you approach 20 women, you're not going to have the same approach with all 20. It's probably going to range from woman to woman. But if you had to, say, pick just one example of, you know, your direct approach, what would, say, starting from the time you approach her, what would it be?
Okay, well, the first thing I try to tell guys is you must only approach women who you have strong feelings for. So only approach women who give you a strong emotional response. Like when you see a girl, like, ooh, you know, that sometimes like you see a girl and you're like, wow, you're looking at whatever part, you like her ass or her face or swagger, whatever she has, and try to find exactly what is it that you like about this chick. Because, for example, I can like Ferraris and I can like Lamborghinis, but both are cars, but I like them for two different reasons. So try to individualize your approach and try to wonder what is it you like about that chick. Then when you know exactly what you like about her, then you can step up and be forward with that. So I personally don't like to give too much examples because I find that I have a style which is, I would say, a rated R style, a style that's very sometimes explicit, very, very straightforward. And I don't like to influence too much my students because I want them to be able to construct their own way of approaching. And most of the time when I talk to women, I'm looking for either short term to, let's say, middle term sexual induced relationships. So, but some guys are looking more for long term relationship. So for that reason, I rather like to break down how to approach, and then depending if you want a girlfriend or if you're looking just for one night stand, then you're going to approach in a different manner. So, for example, a guy who would look for a girlfriend, he could go and talk to a girl and tell her, hey, you know, I've been looking at you. I think you have a very good style. And right now I'm at a moment of my life where I'm looking for something a little bit more serious, you know. So I want to talk to you. I want to get to know you. But before getting more involved, I would like to know, like, if you're at that moment of your life right now. That would be a guy who would look for a long-term relationship, for example. So I would advise him to be straightforward with it at the beginning. Now, another guy who's just looking for one night stand, he could say anything from, you know, from something he likes about the girl. He could go and say, hey, I've been looking at you, and I really like your legs. And I'm wondering how it would be if I had my head wrapped around them, you know. That would be a very sexually charged kind of approach. So it all depends of what the guy is looking for and how the woman makes her feel. So I give two different examples so you can see a little bit the pattern of the approach.
Gotcha. Okay, great. Thank you very much. Excellent answer.
Thank you for calling in, listener. And I just, I wanted to add, I'm with you, man. I'm going to start calling you my little brother, man, because you share so many of my thoughts, man, because when you mentioned about not wanting to give too many examples, because I get that question all the time, either in person or on message boards. Alan, can you give me, like, a dialogue example? And every now and then I might give him one, but generally I tell guys, I'm not trying to teach guys how to be Alan Roger Curry.
Exactly. Yeah.
And just like I'm sure you're not teaching guys how to specifically be Don Suave.
Yeah.
We want guys to imitate our mindset, the underlying attitude that guides our behavior. But I don't want guys actually repeating my specific dialogue, because the dialogue I use is dialogue that fits with my personality.
Exactly.
And, you know, guys got to learn that. So, as a piece of advice to some of you male listeners, please do not try to imitate other guys' specific See, that's how pickup lines get started, is Brian listens to Tommy say something to a woman. He says, hey, I'm going to borrow that line. And then Leon hears Brian. And then David hears Leon. The next thing you know, it's 200 guys saying the same opening line. And then it becomes cliche. So, yeah, don't try to imitate people's dialogue. Just imitate the mindset. But beyond that, I appreciate you calling in. Now, going back to the idea.
I'd like to comment on that, though, to give a comment on what you just said.
Okay.
For example, in the indirect community, one of the famous so-called pickup artists, his name is Mystery.
Yeah, Mystery.
Yeah, and Mystery was involved in magic. So what Mystery did, he put some in his handbook. He put some routines with magic tricks inside of them. And for me personally, I feel that it's ridiculous doing that. Like, for example, me, I practice the MMA, mixed martial arts. So am I gonna start teaching chokes and arm bars to guys? You know. Guys have no idea, like, how to fight. I'm going to teach them, well, you know, you want to talk to a girl, then sure this joke, you know. It would have nothing to do with some of these guys. So that's an example I wanted to put
Now, before our break, we were talking about direct versus indirect and also game plan, and you had a statement that I thought was a strong statement. You said, when you play the game indirectly, you always have to adapt to the woman and play the character she wants you to be, and that you create it in order to maintain things and protect your investment. Please elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah. The thing is, the indirect guy, when he meets the woman, I've been having a lot, because I have at least like 3-4 good players in my environment. And I'm talking about guys who always have 2-3 women in their lives and who can go out in any club and pick up and have a high chance of picking up chicks. And most of these guys are in disagreement with my philosophy. And their mentality is when they meet a woman, they try to kind of sense where the woman is going, and they try to adapt themselves to where the woman is, like a little bit like a chameleon. But the thing is, they don't understand is a lot of times women are playing games. So by doing so, they're getting in the woman's game right away. So, and I believe the only way to break the whole games, it's about being direct. Because when you're straightforward, at one point her real colors are gonna come out. So basically, these guys, they adapt and they say, like I have some of my player friends. Sometimes they meet women and the women say, "Oh, well, me, I'm looking for something serious. I want to get married sometime soon, blah, 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 blah." And they still engage that woman. And I'm like, why are you engaging that woman? Like, why are you doing all of that? Like, do you really need, like, to fuck her so bad that you really need, like, to complicate your life that much? I mean, there's so many women out there. Why do you have to play an actor? And most of the time, these guys are playing the role of a lousy actor. And I've done it, and it doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you do it and you like you have to hide your cell phone. You have to lie. Oh well, I wasn't at that chick's house. I forgot my phone or whatever. You always need to. And when you walk on the street, like you're always like paranoid because you're like, whoa, what's gonna happen if she sees me with this girl? What's gonna happen? I'm gonna lose her. So then you need to see her in different areas of town where you know that the girl is not going to come. And it's really a headache, and it makes your life much more complicated, and it's not necessary. What I believe, it's more about finding women who accept me the way I am and like me the way I am and that want to function with me just the way I am. It's not about changing the person. It's about finding somebody who suits your interests and who share the same interests as you. And if you have the abundance mindset, then you're going to find that. But if you have the scarcity mindset, you're going to be indirect, and you're going to be like one of these guys who's always going to hide their phones and who always are, they're always going to feel like there's something that what they're doing is bad. But me, I don't feel there's anything bad with what I'm doing. My job to me is just not to bring any type of misunderstanding. It's like, as long as I'm honest and I tell her, look, this is how it's going to go. This is what you get yourself into. Then I feel completely fine.
Now, so, another strong statement you make is you say when a guy plays the indirect game,
right?
Whenever he wins, he still fails.
Of course.
Enlighten my listeners what you mean by that.
Well, he wins, but he had to, when he won, he had to buffer himself. He had to censor himself. He had to endure sometimes long, boring conversations. He had to fake that he was interested. He had to fake that he was looking for this. He had to fake that he was looking for that. So all of that work, it's like, are you gonna do all of that just to get laid? You know, it's like, for me, a guy who does that, it's a guy who doesn't get laid on a regular basis. I mean, there's so many chicks on earth. Why are you going to be obsessed about a particular one? And why are you going to act like that with every chick that you meet? So I feel that it's a win, but really it's a consolation prize. The win is a consolation prize because even if you win, after that you're still going to have to do all types of bullshit just to maintain that relationship. And that to me is unnecessary, and I don't need that in my life. I think life is hard as already as it is. I don't need to complicate my life, and especially my personal life, my life about, how can I say, my leisure, the leisure section of my life. I don't need to complicate it with headaches, problems, girls that are asking me for, okay, where are you, what are you doing, you know? And I don't need that. I'd rather tell the girl up front, look, I'm not looking for anything serious. You know, you take it or leave it. And if you leave it, then, you know, it was cool meeting you. Like, if I think she's a really cool girl, you know, maybe I'm going to be friends with her. But chances are, if I was looking for something non-platonic, which I look for most of the time, then
yeah, I don't think any guy. I tell guys all the time, I've never met a guy who actively goes out looking for platonic female friends. I mean, we always looking to have sex in some matter of fact. Speaking of that, let me get your opinion, because I had a female friend in the chat room. She left now, but she wanted to know your thoughts on. What are your general thoughts on, say, long-term sexual relationships versus short-term and monogamous versus non-monogamous? And I saw something in your book that I found interesting. I want you to define what does it mean to be genetically polygamous?
Genetically polygamous, okay. Well, to be genetically polygamous, if you look at all the great men throughout history, not necessarily great men, but men who, how could I say, who changed the face of the earth. You know, we're talking about Julius Caesar. You look at men like Napoleon. You look at Alexander the Great. You look at all these men, most of these men, and studies have been made on that, tend to be men that practices polygamy. I don't know why, I can't really explain the reason, but some men have urges that are stronger than other. And the thing is, like when you have a skill set and you have the ability to meet different women, you get accustomed to a certain lifestyle, sometimes it's hard to put that lifestyle away. So I personally am not a big believer of monogamy. You know, if we look at the divorce percentage in North America, it's probably above 50%. There was a study that was made in my state, in Quebec, Canada, and there was 32% of women that said that they cheated on their spouse.
32%?
33%.
33? Damn. About 1 out of every 3 women is cheating.
1 out of every 3 women, and that's the one who said the truth. So what does it say about our society? I worked as a personal trainer in gyms. I had both male and female customers, and sometimes they tell me their personal stories, and I've seen it everywhere, man. It's not, and I was surprised that before I thought it was just men, but when I got into certain positions, I was surprised to see that married women like offering themselves to me. And
well, you know, what's funny about that, Dad, was really funny about that. I talked about this, I want to say about maybe 2 months ago.
Okay.
I always start my show giving little things I read in the news,
right.
And one of them was they did a survey about women cheating by career, like the career of the guy who they were cheating with.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what the number one career that women tend to cheat with?
Personal trainer.
Yep. Personal trainers were number one. They when more women cheat on their boyfriends and husbands with their personal trainers than any other male by career. I found that very interesting.
Well, if you're interested, I can explain why.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because the thing is, when you're a personal trainer, you especially when you're training at very attractive women, you see them in their worst, like they're sweating and you're pushing them. And a lot of times, it's women that go for personal training and who train hard is women that are very motivated. And a lot of times, they need to have a certain amount of money, so they're career-oriented. And the fact that you see them at their worst. Sometimes they want to prove you that they're way better than how you see them in the gym. So that's why I guess a lot of times they feel that they need to impress their trainer, and it kind of turns into something weird, which can lead to them cheating.
Yeah, it's funny, man. I have to tell this quick story. I had a buddy. Well, he wasn't really a close friend, but he's a guy I met about maybe 4 years ago.
Okay.
Kind of a friend, and he's married. Matter of fact, I want to say he's still married to this woman, but we got to talking, and somehow cheating came into the conversation.
Okay.
And I basically asked him, first I think I asked him, had he ever cheated on his wife? and then had his wife ever cheated on him?
Right.
And he said, yeah, and it was, well, he said there was one time, I wouldn't say she cheated, but she wanted to. I said, really? He said, yeah, but much to my surprise, the guy she wanted to cheat with didn't want the pussy.
Yeah.
I said, really? He said, yeah, it was her personal trainer. I said, get out of here. He said, yeah, it was interesting. The guy called him up. The guy who she wanted to cheat, the personal trainer called him up and basically said, hey, dude, I got to tell you something, man. Your wife is sweating me, but he's like, dude, I don't want to fuck her. He's like, number one, she's a little older. He said, man, I'm getting pussy from, like, you know, women in their 20s.
Yeah.
And she at the time was, I think, in her late 30s, and he was like,
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
I ain't trying to fuck her, so I just want to let you know, man, she keep throwing it at me, and I keep rejecting it. And I was just like, damn, dude, that had to be hard to deal with. He said, yeah, man, it, like, was really hurtful, man, you know. Because, yeah, he said the trainer told him, I mean, she was just, like, just throwing it. And, but anyway, yeah, so now another question.
Right.
I know from my own book, I always preach to guys about not putting too much emphasis on the results of them. We've been talking all night about, like, you know, being indifferent towards rejection. And I feel like that's one of the hardest messages to get across to guys. And I noticed from reading your ebook, you emphasize the same principle. Tell my male listeners why you think putting too much emphasis on results is more of a bad thing than a good thing.
Okay. The problem is when you put too much pressure on results. So, for example, a lot of indirect guys, they look for tangible results. So the phone number, if they got laid, they look for that. And it's they look for it in a way so they can prove to themselves that the method is working. So the problem with this is if one of those guys, they go out one night and then they get 5, 6, 7 rejections, then their self-confidence is going to completely drop. And then they won't feel good to approach other women, and they're going to get mad, or they're going to start questioning themselves. So me, what I like to say is, like, let go of the outcome of the interaction. Why? Because you're only in control of your behavior. You're not in control of her behavior. So even if a chick is interested to you, there might be a lot of different reasons why things are not going to materialize. So, for example, she's with a group of friends and she can't come back home with you, or I don't know, she had a bad day, she just broke up of a relationship, whatever reason. So a lot of times the girl's going to be interested, but things are not going to materialize. But that's not your fault. And you shouldn't change your behavior just because that this chick or the other one or the friend of the other one, it didn't work out. So the thing is, when you're obsessed with results, is you're going to have a variable level of self-confidence. Your self-confidence is not going to be constant. Me, my confidence does not come, has nothing related to my results when I go out with women. It has nothing to do. My confidence comes from all the rest of the stuff in my life. So that's why a lot of times when I see guys who are only focusing on tricks and gimmicks or tactics to pick up women, and they only focus on that, but they have a shitty life, I mean, I think it will help them more if they focus on building a healthy lifestyle, and then after that they could focus on that.
Good response. I'm going to take one last intermission break so my guests can get another swig of water. But if you have questions, again, the number is 646-478-5710. I'll be right back in about 3 minutes.
Do you want to let loose?
Yep.
Do you want to vent on the issues
all the time?
Do you want to express your view?
Yes, sir.
Then sound off. This is your host, Harold L.,
okay,
inviting you to join me on Blog Talk Radio with the Sound Off Now show.
That's what's up.
Real life, real issues, real talk,
okay,
uncensored. Join me on the SON Networks Monday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern for some of the most controversial issues and forums as we simply sound off.
I'm there.
Come join us on Sound Off Now. where nothing is off limits. That's what's up. www.blogtalkradio.com/sound-off-now.
I looked at myself as a quote-unquote bad boy, at least not in all regards. I mean, I ain't never robbed no bank, and I ain't never skipped 2 weeks of school. So in terms of just various facets of my behavior, I wouldn't necessarily call myself this. But yeah, when it comes to sex, I've definitely been that guy.
Because
I will push a woman's boundaries.
You know what? To be honest with you, I think most women are waiting for a man to do that. Most women want a man to do that. Most women that are coming up in the day and age where a woman is supposed to be the good girl has this idea that a man is going to bring that out of her, and she's hoping that he will. Unfortunately, a lot of men, I won't say a lot of men, but some men have no idea what they're doing. And so they're not able to get that out of her. And then everybody's frustrated. She's frustrated, he's frustrated. Nobody knows why it's not working. But women are like, go ahead, like blindfold her and just take her wherever you want to take her. She's waiting for a man to command that. So she can't, you know, in some cases be that free to say, okay, blindfold me and take me wherever you want to take me. And it's because in some way she's afraid of where you might take her. You know, depending on what the relationship is like with him and how much she trusts him. And in other cases, she just doesn't know how to say that herself.
No woman wants a man that can't lay it down in the bedroom. Period. And, you know, women, we go through this, oh, I want to be held and I want to cuddle and I want to talk. Yeah, we want to do all of that. But when it comes down to it, we want to be climbing off the ceiling just like everybody else does.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview with dating coach and attraction and seduction expert Don Suave, a.k.a. the Direct Playboy, on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Tonight I'm talking with what I'd like to consider one of my proteges in the direct approach mindset. He goes by the pseudonym Don Suave, and he is the author of The Direct Playboy Mindset, How to Become a Man of Influence and a Chick Magnet. And we have been having a great conversation tonight. Now, I got to ask you, I know your book, of course, is geared towards men, just like my book, but quite naturally, women are nosy and curious. Have you ever had any women read your book and provide you with feedback on it?
Well, I would say most women, the first reaction that they have is usually a lot of people don't really support or don't really understand what men like us are accomplishing, you know. So a lot of times a woman's gonna see that like, okay, who do you think you are? Like, you wrote a book about blah 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 blah. But after you explain to them a little bit what you're into, then they start to open up, And I've had a woman who read my book, and personally, she told me that she found a lot of what was said inside was actually true. A friend of mine actually told me that. So it just depends of the type of the woman, if she's open-minded to it, if she's not, or she's closed-minded to it. But like you said, most of my work is toward men. But eventually, I hope more women, which are not in my personal life, will read it and will give me their feedback on it. And I'm looking forward to that.
Now, speaking of the women now, you make a strong statement. Well, it ain't that strong, but I'm sure women, it would raise women's eyebrows.
Right.
You say in one page in your book, you say, women are moody creatures who are motivated by their emotions. Now, the second part of that statement is not too bad, because most women do consider themselves emotional.
Right.
But you calling them moody. Have you had any reactions to that?
Well, the thing about the moody part, it's if you look at women's hormones, just biologically, is they tend to be always fluctuating. So another example I give in my book is if you ask for a chick like what type of guy she likes on Monday, maybe on Wednesday she's gonna like a total different type of guy. So I think that women who are honest with themselves, they're not going to be controlled by their ego, so they can go, how could I say, they can bypass their natural response of feeling offended by that. Mm-hmm. So that would be my answer.
Now, you know, it was interesting. I've told some friends, when I was in college,
right?
I can't remember the name of this book or who the author was, but I read this book that was very interesting to me. It's this guy who wrote this book. He was a psychologist.
Okay.
He said that society always associates love with men, I mean with women,
mm-hmm.
and they associate us with sex. But he said, in reality, the truth of the matter is, he said, men actually fall deeper in love than most women do. And this relates to your comment. He said, women, they talk about love more and think about it more.
Right.
But he said, he went on to say in his book, essentially, that women's idea of love is more fickle.
Right.
And it is constantly changing throughout their adult life. Whereas he said a man, there's only really, he said, probably two, no more than three women in a man's life he's going to really be in love with. And the interesting statistic he had, and I've read this in a couple other articles, do you know more men have committed suicide
mm-hmm.
because of a failed marriage or a failed relationship than women have?
Yeah, I know that women have a low suicide percentage in general. And what I believe is, like, I think it's harder for a man to fall in love than a woman, but it's much easier for women to grow out of it. It's some women, from my personal life, I fell in love maybe once. And it was very hard for me, and it took me a long time to get over it. But the woman that I was involved with, you know, she quickly was back on her feet. And I think women fall in love easier, but they also disconnect easier in a more easy manner. That's exactly
what this guy who wrote this book was saying. Yep, he said they fall in love quicker than men, and they fall out of love quicker. Matter of fact, a good movie I recommend to my listeners.
Right.
There is a movie called, if you haven't seen it, there's this movie, it's an independent, low-budget independent film called Blue Valentine with Ryan Gosling.
Okay.
And it relates to a lot of what me and Don are talking about right now. But I had a question for you from the chat room. A guy asked me to ask you, what is the best, like, public place to approach and meet women? Is it, say, nightclubs? Is it bars? Is it health and fitness gyms? Is it grocery stores? What would you say is your number one recommended public venue to approach and meet women?
Well, again, like, there's not a... Every answer would vary depending on, you know, what's your lifestyle, what do you look like, what's your personality, everything. There would be several public places which would be rich and an environment which rich of women. So, for example, in Montreal right now, we have the Grand Prix weekend. There's going to be F1 during all the weekend, so there's a lot of activities outside. So just going outside, I mean, there's going to be some performers that are going to perform there. Just going there, just walking around, you're going to meet a lot of women. So I don't think clubs is the best place to meet women. I think it's good to build a skill set, to build some type of to really practice your game. I think clubs are good for that as a training ground. But in terms of really meeting women, is it the best place? I don't think it's the best place. Going to the gym, if you have a decent shape, it's a target-rich environment because there's no pressure. Women are not, they don't have their shields, so they're not walking around thinking that they're going to get approached. A lot of times, during the day, you disarm women when you approach them. Personally, I don't really like walking the street and looking to approach women because women are going places. Mm-hmm. I rather like if there's something going on, some type of outdoor event, and they're already there and there's no pressure and they're just enjoying themselves, then I think they're in a much more receptive mood for me to do my approach. So what I would recommend any type of outdoor event organized on the street where the street is blocked and there's a lot of activity. I think that's a good example of where you could go to meet women. And other than that, the advice I would give is there's no place to meet women. As long as you can meet them at the grocery store, you could meet them at the bus stop, you know, you could even meet them in a funeral, for example. It might sound a little bit weird to say that, but I mean, there's no particular place. As long as there's a chick walking around and you think she's attractive, then that should be your location.
I hear you. I agree with a lot of your thoughts.
Okay.
What are some ways that I think your book, man, number one, it was not only informative, it was very entertaining. You have a very entertaining writing style. And
Thank you.
You definitely, more than anything else, you keep it real. And I can always appreciate guys who keep it real.
Right.
And anyway, one thing you said about was talking about certain types of men allowing themselves to become essentially a woman's bitch. When does a man know that he's become his girlfriend or his wife's bitch?
Well, it's basically like in society, we always talk about pussy power, and it's when he becomes a slave, like a slave to the pussy. Like he becomes like the woman kind of uses her pussy to do whatever she wishes with him. See, me, I don't really believe in pussy power. I believe in dick power.
I heard that.
So what I believe is to switch the other game around. Not necessarily that the woman must run after you, but eventually that's where it's going to lead if you play your cards right. So I go against the natural tendency of society. See, like, for example, I don't believe in hard-to-get women because I don't play that game. I don't play that game about the game of running after women. I don't play that game. So for me, it's all about presenting myself in a certain way, having sex, and keeping a certain aura to the whole relationship where she kind of, when she needs me, she calls me and she comes to see me and she calls me and she's after me. That's how I play it. But it's not, there's nothing really deceptive about it, but that's just how I frame the thing. So that's the results I usually get.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're coming up to our last few minutes. I only got about maybe two or three more questions. Now,
okay. You
probably don't get mad at me, but two of these three questions, I had minor disagreements with you. Everything else I've been agreeing with, but there's two things I got to get your opinion on. Because, well, first, there was one other question, though, before I get to the my two disagreements. Where is the question I had? Oh, I know what it was. How important do you think, and of course you mentioned that you've been a wrestler and a mixed martial artist. How important is health and fitness and physique improvement to a man's ability to confidently approach and attract women?
I would say it's not that important. I would say... honestly, it's not that important. As long as you have some minimal grooming and, you know, you have you're dressing in a way where you don't look like a nerd or you don't look like something that would be repulsive for a woman, I don't think it's that important. Although I think that physical health is important for development of you as a person. So... it's not about going to the gym to get women. It's about going to the gym for you, like to be healthy, and that's going to give you extra self confidence. But it's not needed. It's not needed necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now here is my two minor things I'm curious about. One, you say a man should never ever start a conversation with the words, "Excuse me." Now, I have to admit, I've done that at least 10 to 20% of the time.
Okay.
So what's your main criticism against starting off a conversation by saying, "Excuse me"?
Well, another thing that I say in my book, I say there are no absolutes in pickup.
Okay.
So whatever I say in the book, it's not absolute. So that means that, therefore, that even if you use it 10, 20% of the time, there's nothing wrong with that. The only thing that I say is, like, when you start a conversation with "excuse me," it depends. Are you looking for validation when you say "excuse me"? Like, are you waiting for her to acknowledge you and say, "Oh, okay, you can talk to me," or you just say "excuse me" and then you follow along right away? So if you say "excuse me" and you follow along right away without looking for validation, I think it's fine. Like, if you use "excuse me" just to get the attention, but if you use "excuse me" and then you look at her and you wait for her to react and to give you the permission, the green light for you to talk to her, then I find it's a bit weak. I think you can approach stronger than that.
Well, I agree with that. Okay, now that you've given that explanation, I would actually totally agree with you on that. Because I've seen guys do that where they say, "excuse me," and they kind of like pause. And like you said, it's like they're waiting for permission to talk to. So in that sense, I do totally agree with you. Okay, then let's scratch that. I don't have a disagreement now that you've explained. Okay, there's my second one. I've had, and definitely women who listen to my show know I have this quirk where I would say probably at least maybe 20 to 25% of the women that I've had sex with were women that I had phone sex with at least once or twice before I had physical sex with. But you say in your book that a man should preferably avoid having phone sex before he has sex with a woman at least once. What is the logic behind that one?
Well, because the thing is, when you have before you have sex, there's a lot of there's a sexual tension in the air, and I feel that even if you have phone sex, even though you guys are not touching each other, but in a figurative way, it's like if she has an orgasm, it's like she had sex with you in some way. So if the woman was looking just for, let's say, a one-night stand, and then she kind of had that experience on the phone with you, then maybe all she was looking for, all the attention is gone, and then there's no other reason for her to see you again. And that happened to me once, actually. And after that, that's after that this situation happened that I thought about it and I was thinking, okay, well, what's the reason? And I think that that was the reason. The fact that the tension was there and the tension, we kind of had phone sex and the tension kind of went down after she had the orgasm. And since she was only looking to get this thing one time, then it didn't materialize. But again, I may be wrong. But
now, you know what's funny about that for me?
Right.
It's weird because I've almost experienced that in reverse, interesting enough. I can name at least two or three women that I wanted to fuck.
Okay.
Initially, but once I had phone sex with them,
right,
I didn't want to fuck them anymore. For the same reason you just talked about the women, you know, it's like I only really wanted to say if I have like a one-night stand or we can fling with them.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, once I had phone sex with them once or twice, it's like, I don't really want to fuck her no more. So
maybe it applies to both sexes. Maybe sometimes it's you, maybe sometimes it's her. And the same thing could be said about webcam sex. And me, it happened, the situation you're talking to me, the same thing happened with webcam, for example. If you look at a chick touching herself, and after that you feel that, okay, whatever, like, you know, you don't really feel motivated to go see her again. So I guess it can play with both sexes.
Well, hey, man, we're out of time, but I want to tell you once again, I really appreciate you being a guest on my show and reconnecting with you. And, of course, I wish you nothing but continued success with your book. And we're going to have to talk so you can help me boost up my website because, again, man, your website is the shit, dude. I really love it. And the video is the shit. And I like what you're doing and like what you teaching, excuse me, and promoting. And listeners, his website is directplayboy.com, directplayboy.com. He does personal coaching, phone coaching, private coaching, email coaching. And again, his book is called The Direct Playboy Manuscript, How to Become a Man of Influence and a Chick Magnet. Don Suave, thanks a lot, brother.
Well, thank you, Alan.
And next week, listeners, I will be having, again, no particular guest. I will have one of my shows that I refer to as an open discussion forum. That's when I really don't have a guest. I pick a topic, and I just talk about it. And the topic next week is going to be disingenuous proofs. Basically, people, both male and female, who present themselves in public to be very prudish and conservative, but behind closed doors, they're doing everything under the sun that's freaky and kinky and also sexual hypocrites. Like, for it, this relates to that Congressman Anthony Weiner acting like he's Mr. Conservative and he's sending dick shots through Twitter. So we're going to talk about that next week. Until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend. For those who were keeping up with the Mavericks, they won. They beat the Miami Heat 112 to 103. So they are now up 3-2. But have a safe and enjoyable weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.